Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 6th day of June, 2016. Well, how's everything going today? Little waterlogged here in Durham, trying to get the wet weather to move out, but we got more wet weather to move in. But before I get started today, I have to say this, and it's really coming from the bottom of my heart. There is a television show and a man that has been doing a local high school football here in the Durham-Raleigh area for about 35 years. His name is Tom Suter. Now, Tom Suter has a show called Friday Night Football. Friday Night Football is probably one of the biggest local and best local high school football shows in the country, just not in this area. He also gives out an award called the Special Effort Award. Well, today, after 35 years in broadcasting, Tom Suter has decided to hang up the old cleats and ride off into the sunset. And I remember Tom Suter the most because I was at South Greville High School in Creemore. And I had just gotten there. I think it was like 1989. I'm dating myself, right? And so we were on the show in 1989. We came back a little while later on the show, like around in the late 90s. We came back. Teams used to make live appearances on the show. And so we were standing there. We had a game. We beat Southern Vance to go to the playoffs for the first time in I don't know how many years. And I, like I say, introduced myself to Tom Suter in 1989. He walked up to me in like 1998 and said, "Hey, Coach Wood, how you doing?" And he spoke to Coach Joe Summers, who was the head coach, who was still there also. He remembered each and every one of us. And what he did, it was so amazing to me, was he did not have anything in his hand. I don't think he had, he didn't have any script whatsoever. Before the show started, he went down and personally said the name and shook the hand of every player on that team. That's how much Tom Suter was into high school football. He would travel, across the city of Raleigh and Durham to find a kid if he couldn't pronounce his name. Even if, he said, "All right, I'm not going to get it from anybody else. I'm going to get it straight from you. How do you pronounce your name?" He'd tell him how to pronounce the name. That was it. He had it first take, first time. The rest of that kid's career, the rest of that kid's life, he had that name. That is how much of a professional Tom Suter is. So on behalf of the Overtime Sports Show, I want to say thank you, Tom. Thank you for 35 years of the best. You showed me what it's like to be a media professional. You showed a lot of people what it's like to be a media professional. And most of all, and the thing that tops it all off, Tom Suter is a really good guy. Really. I mean, genuinely a good guy. So thank you so much, Tom. Now, moving on to tonight's show. Tonight, right here on the Overtime Sports Show, we have a special guest, and she's been on several times before. But it's like we have to continue to have her on because we need to get this information out to our young people. We need to get young people to understand what is going on in the world of recruiting. Our student athletes still, to some degree, don't have a grasp on the seriousness of their situation. They're still doing very, very stupid stuff on social media. There was a kid, a four-star athlete that was going to a major university here in North Carolina, and he got on internet on Twitter and thought it was cute and did something that wasn't too cute, and now he's not going there. I mean, you just have to be smart. Plus, you have to have the grades. I mean, you look at the fact that, some kids, they're great running backs, they're great football players, they're great jump shooters, and they can, be Steph Curry and shoot from 75 feet and make it and all that stuff. But when you go and you look at their classwork, they're like, their GPA is 1.75. Now, it's great. You can play basketball with a 1.75 because after you pay your $35 fee down at the Y, you do get to keep the jersey. So you get something out of it. But we're going to try to help you move right along. and do something positive, and also let your ability that God gave you from above help pay for your education. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on the line right now Dr. Kathy Reeves of PD Sports Recruiters. How are you doing, Dr. Reeves?
Oh, Mike, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
That's fine. And also, I neglected to say, we also have Linda Van Smith. She is a co-host for tonight. She's also on the show, and she's going to be asking you a few questions along the way. And,
that is awesome.
You know, about, because she's really, she is an educator, okay? She is an educator like you are. So, therefore, I know y'all two can talk shop about the education part of it. Like I say 1,000 times, I promised my parents they never have to worry about anything academic with me, and I've kept my word to this day.
Mike.
So, you know, I mean, hey, what can I say, you know?
I went to class.
I went to class now. I may have been too dumb to get what was in there, but I was in there, especially in kindergarten when they used to give those little nabs. You know, it was great. But anyway, tell us about, let's just go from this, A to Z, as much as we can get in tonight on the Overtime Show, because, I'd also like to remind the listening audience that on June 27th, I don't have it right here in front of me, it's the 26th or 27th, I think it's 26th though, I will post it on my website, that we're going to have a webinar on the Overtime Sports Show. It's going to be on Blab, and I'll make sure that is listed on the website. And our website is www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com. I know it sounds like a very long address, because it is, but put it in. It'll be worth it. And we'll have information about that. That day we are really, really going to get in the nuts and bolts of this thing so we can understand, so we can help you understand what you need to do to get there. Buying a pair of Jordans and not investing in your son or daughter's future is not the way to do it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But tell us about a little bit about PD Sports Recruiters and exactly what you do.
Well, good afternoon to our listeners. With Mike Wood, we love you, Mike. We do. I want to say hello to your co-host there. Very nice to meet you.
Okay, how are you?
You there? Oh, I think she may have faded out here.
Yes, Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now,
Okay. Is a PD Sports Recruiters is an end-to-end athlete recruiting service and educational consulting. We are the liaison between the coaches who are looking for players that have scholarship money and the parents who are looking for scholarships who cannot afford to pay the tuition in full. We bring those two entities together. The coaches identify students who are qualifiers, who are eligible to receive athletic scholarship monies for the purposes of tuition, paying tuition. And we also help the parents we educate the parents on the recruiting process, and we also assist them in getting their child in a position to receive the scholarship money. Now, there are several recruiting services out there. We are not the first ones. There's Rich Allen, the informed athlete. He does the same thing. He's out of Illinois. He's very successful in what he does. He's does mainly baseball recruiting and things like that. We have our lacrosse recruits. There are agencies that specialize in just in lacrosse recruiting, hockey recruiting. There's NCSA, there's an NCSA sports. They do the same thing that we do. And then National Scouting Report, Inc., they also do the exact same thing. Now, what makes PD Sports Recruiters a little differently from these other recruiting services is that we have educators on board who are not just coaches, but also understand the academic process on the higher education side, because I've been teaching in higher education since 1995. So I know all the ins and outs of higher education, what is needed to get admitted, what happens, how many hours that students have to have when transferring, you know, what is required to keep your funding, keep your monies, you know, all of those things, you know, PD Sports Recruiters is familiar with. So that's kind of what we do. We provide that service for all sports, in particularly football, basketball, equestrian, any sports, cycling, rowing, wrestling, bowling, rodeo, netball, handball, rugby, track, field, swimming, diving, lacrosse, any sport, any sport, intramural sport. So that's, you know, what we do. Now, the challenge that is before us is these new millennium parents who refuse to listen to anyone who wants to share this information about the changes to the recruiting process and how to go about getting a scholarship. We have a lot of misconceptions about how the process should be done, and most parents clueless, and particularly a lot of these millennium parents where you have a 15-year-old and the parent is maybe 15 years older, maybe in their 30s, and things of that nature, and they are absolutely clueless to the recruiting process. And the dilemma that we're having right now is getting parents to understand that just because your child is playing in high school, it does not roll over to college. It starts all over again. You have to go through certain qualifications for different athletic divisions to be able to receive the scholarship. So this is the dilemma that we're facing right now with a lot of high school parents for 2017, 2018. It's one of the things that we're looking at and having a very, very hard time. We have to keep hammering that information and keep sounding and, you know, thankful for Mike Wood and the Overtime Sports Show for being a sounding board, because I have coaches in my ear. They say, you know, Ms. Reed, you got to keep telling them, just keep saying it and just keep saying it. Well, we've been saying it since 2014. It is now 2016. And there are a lot of student athletes who are indeed not meeting the criteria that is required to get the scholarship money. So that is the uphill battle, like right now, that we're facing. I did a seminar all over the phone for about, I guess, maybe 34 parents altogether, only about 15 of them called in to hear about the recruiting. They're AAU travel ball team, and they're thinking that their high school coach is responsible for them getting a scholarship. That is so far from the truth. The purpose of going to college is to get an education, not to play ball, period, number one. And number two, why should a high school coach be responsible for getting your child a scholarship? The high school coach is responsible for doing just that, coaching and teaching his class. He or she is not responsible for educating a child beyond high school. That's the parent responsibility. So we have, and this is not just going on in North Carolina, it's going on in Indianapolis, Indiana, it's in the Midwest. It's on the East Coast, it's on the West Coast, it's in North Carolina, it's in Texas, it's in Georgia, it is all over. You have these parents who refuse to believe that this process actually exists. And they don't see the value of investing in trying to get their child a scholarship. They refuse to listen. to anyone who knows the process.
What bothered me the most about this whole thing starting back in 2014, well, actually it started before then, but it really just, as we say, hit the fan in 2014, is that when the higher academic standards came out, and the higher SATs and the ACTs and everything that goes with this to make the product, I don't know if it's going to make the product owner feel better, but to make the lives of the product that's owner feel better. Coaches like John Thompson at Georgetown came out, and other coaches, with a news conference. These higher standards are going to hurt our student-athletes. Now, that, in my opinion, he is the crust of the problem. He is the creme de la creme of the problem, because if you as a coach, and most coaches are educators, if you as an educator believe that telling someone that they have to do their absolute best is hurting them, then are you not part of the problem and really not a part of the solution? You're trying to say that our African-American kids, if they have to achieve, let's just say, a 2.3 from a 2.0, that you're saying because they have to achieve a 2.3, then it's going to hurt them because they can't do it? The kids will meet the expectations that are set.
Yes.
If you set the expectation, it will be met. Are there going to be some that's not going to meet it? Yes. Is there always going to be some that's not going to meet, quote, your expectations? Yes. You know what that's called? Life. Okay?
Yes.
So
yes.
My question is, how do you fight through coaches who want to keep their own players and their own people down by saying, we're not as good as the next guy? And that's exactly what he was saying.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And not only – well, first, let me talk about recruiting and actual D1 recruiting, because what John Thompson was really referring to is NCAA Division I recruiting. That's, you know, the Georgetown, the Syracuse, the Connecticut, the UConn. The D1 recruiting is what he was referring to. But here is the thing. D1 recruiting did not change with the new NCAA academic standard. It didn't change. The way the D1 recruiting has not changed. It has not, because the average Division I, NCAA Division I student cannot get admitted in a school with a 2.3. Division I college coaches, they're still looking for kids with a 3.0, 3.4, 3.7. You have to have a 3.7 to even get considered at Davidson. And Steph Curry, the Currys have raised that bar. So D1 recruiting has not changed the way that it is done, because the average student will not get accepted in a D1 school with a 2.3. That's a C. So these standards that the NCAA has put in place, they don't impact the way that D1 recruiting is done. D1 coaches are still looking for kids who can prove that they can handle a Division I study schedule and a Division I travel schedule. And a student with a 2.3, that's a C. You have four Cs. A student with a 2.3, if you are struggling in high school, you are going to struggle in college. That's just the way it is. So what John Thompson had referred to, and I remember him saying that, not really sure what he was talking about, because Division I recruiting has not changed. They still look for kids with the high test scores and the high GPA, because those students, they do research. Those two students have a better success rate of keeping their grades with the rigorous Division I travel schedule and practice schedule. So when they have these tutors that go along with them or these teachers, these students with the higher GPA and ACT are more inclined to get their work without someone just standing over them as opposed to someone who has a whole bunch of C's. Because 2.3, that's a C.
Yeah, or either they can just go to a school where it doesn't matter. They get the people to write it for them, and they never have to go to class. But I promised tonight I was not going to mention you in cheat. I promise.
Well, then, Mike, there are other schools that are doing the same thing, and, you know, been in
I understand that. But, see, the other schools did not get caught. And the other schools did not sit there and say, we do things the right way, the Carolina way. No other school said that. So, and for 30 years, they walk around with their chest puffed out, like we're doing things the right way, and they were cheating the whole time. I don't care if 1,000,001 schools do it. They got caught. And then there's thousands and thousands of people selling drugs. There's thousands of people selling drugs right now. They don't catch them all. They just catch the ones that are in jail and get caught.
That's right.
If you're slick enough to keep getting by with it, then go right ahead. But once you get caught, don't sit there and go, uh-oh, my bad. Oh, yeah, it is your bad. And don't sit there and say that we do things the right way. Matter of fact, there was a kid, and this is a true story. The kid was going to Carolina. He was a 4-star recruit. He decided all of a sudden Carolina rejected him. They rejected him. And the reason they rejected him, because he wanted to go to class. But anyway, Linda, I'm going to bring you into this since you're an educator. And, you know about that particular part of it. But, you know, just one more thing before I leave on Carolina is stupid is what stupid does. And if
– Stuck on stupid.
Stuck on stupid. I mean, if people – and I come across Carolina fans all the time and say, well, Duke does it too. I say, yeah, but because they have a law school and the kids go to class, they're smart enough to get by with it. Your kids won't go to class. As a matter of fact, right now I got to go over there and give them an orientation packet to show them where the classes are and they're seniors. But anyway, you go ahead. I mean, don't get me started with that because it just irritates me absolutely. I had a show about three or four years ago on the same subject when they found out about Marvin Austin, which was nothing new, about getting paid and all this stuff. I said I talked to John McCann from the Durham Sun. He covers UN Cheat. And I was sitting there and I told him, I said, you don't understand. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I said, a guy getting a watch, a guy getting $1,500, that's nothing. I said, to me, I don't care nothing about the watch or the $1,500. What I care about is the other part of the cheating going on where the other kids who have to go to school every day, work like a dog, to pay their tuition to go. They have to go to class and get the grades, whatever they get, they get. Football players get to lay around in the dorm and do not play football and basketball. I said, that's not fair. And then they're going to get, not only do you have kids that they cheated for, he made the dean's list. He graduated with honors and never went to one class. So, I mean, then you got kids out there struggling every day, working their butts off, paying all this tuition, going through all this hell, and you look at them and say, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't quite make it because you didn't get a chance to pay for this anatomy class. Well, here's a guy right here that my student fees, my money paid for his scholarship to sit around and just play football. That's all. Just play football. But anyway, Linda, I'll let you go.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Just one question, because I am in awe about a lot of things that you're saying. Now, it seems to me that parents are not buying in to the recruitment process. Would you not say that, right?
That is correct. They don't believe that their child will not be playing in high school, in college. They think that because they're playing in high school that they're going to automatically get on the team once they apply to the school, and once the kid is admitted, they think they're automatically on the team. That's not how it works. The admissions process, as you know, is a separate process than the academic and then the athletic process to play a sport in college. Yes,
right,
ma'am.
So your recruitment, your team, does that as far as once they get in. You help them with the initial process getting in and then with their academics as well, correct?
Well, they have to go through a clearinghouse process, and they have to be cleared before they get to a position to be able to become eligible. It's called eligibility, and they have to go through the clearinghouse process that starts now in the ninth grade. There is a clearinghouse process.
By the time they get to their senior year, they will be ready for the college.
Yes. Not necessarily if they do not meet the clearinghouse requirements. They have to have 10 core courses by the end of their junior year. Of the 10 core courses, 7 of them have to be in the math, science, and English family. They cannot have any repeated classes in the 16 core courses. Now, of course, the 16 core courses is what's required to graduate. They cannot have any repeats in the English, math, science, social studies, family. No repeated classes. So if they took an English in ninth grade, they did not pass the English, and they took the English again, and they got an A. Okay, that first one will not even be accepted, period.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
No repeat classes, no credit recovery.
Mm.
They have to, for example, if they have a 2.3 core GPA, which is, you know, the maximum number of C's, they can't get any more than 4 C's in the core courses. The lower the GPA, the lower the core GPA, the higher the SAT has to be. For example,
mm-hmm.
a student who has a C average, a C in the core 2.3, they have to score at least 1,050 on the SAT test, which is, they set these standards so high, which is no way. How can a C student score,
right.
you know? So they're looking at 550 on the English and 550 on the math.
Okay, now we're just talking about division.
Math and 550 on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're just talking about Division One, correct?
Division One. Division One
right.
and Division Two.
And Division, okay. All right.
Yes, Division One and Division Two.
Well, I tell you what, I probably never would have played. But then again, being a Sioux student,
that's a lot. Mike, let me just say, you know, because really, I think students are oblivious. In fact, I know they are. You know, as far as just doing what they need to do to be successful. I mean, we have a lot of great athletes in school. You know, I'm at the middle school level, eighth grade. And then, you know, these kids get to high school and they just plummet. And they're great athletes. But then again, they don't have that guidance,
I'm just gonna put it out there, plain.
He finally called me. He said, "Go ahead, Kat." That's what they called me.
y'all are so diplomatic. I ain't gonna be diplomatic. The bottom line is this: some people have offspring who shouldn't have them. They're just stupid. They won't listen to what is put in front of them. My boy can run a football, so I know he's going to go over to UNC and play. Well, you know, he don't need all this work here because his talent going to get him through. Well, now, at UNC, that may be true over there because you don't have that grades to get in. But at any other school that you want to go to, you're going to have to meet certain requirements. Like I said, you could be the best basketball player in the world down at the Y. You know, and parents, I run to parents all the time who like some of this, you know, like they have I call it AAU football, but it's really like community football where they have these different teams and everything. And you talk to some of the parents, and they're like, "Yeah, my boy's a running back out there, man. He's doing good. He's getting ready to go to ninth grade next year, man, and he's going to go all the way to, you know, all the way and play on in college somewhere." I said, "Well, what's his grades like?" "Well, his grades ain't that good." Well, see, here's the thing. You get one free shot at this thing in life. And you know what that is? That's your ninth grade year to play sports. When you are promoted from the 8th grade to the 9th grade, there are really no requirements that you have to meet except be breathing. Now, once you pass that first semester in 9th grade, then it's when they really start lowering the boom on you as far as you got to pass this number of courses, pass this number of courses. And then this kid winds up not being able to pass this number of courses because in middle school he was never pushed. His parents thought it was going to be easier than it was in middle school. As a matter of fact, Linda, you and I discussed this, that once you hit the high school level, they don't. It's not going to be the same. They're not going to sit there and say, little Johnny, did you do your homework last night?
Exactly.
No, it's going to be, you got your homework? Okay, here's your zero.
Right. That's right.
You know, and what can I do to make it up? See me next year when you repeat. I mean, that's
okay,
the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And
let me
parents
ask you,
don't understand
yeah.
it.
Another question about it. So how early do you start the recruiting process?
Ninth grade. Middle school. Ninth
Alabama
grade.
Alabama birth.
Yes, ma'am.
Alabama starts at birth.
Okay.
Yeah, I know,
okay.
right.
I understand.
They offered
okay.
a kid that was born, he was 15 pounds or 4 ounces, they offered him a scholarship, Alabama did. He was 15 pounds. Go ahead. Born, 15 pounds.
But, no, this is so interesting because, gosh, and students do have the potential. They just don't take advantage of, you know, of
well,
the school, you know, and what they need
yes,
to do, their
yeah.
academics.
Yeah, and not only that, like I said for earlier, they, now, there's a certain demographic. Now, Mike, I know you're gonna you just put it out there. There's a certain demographic who are getting it, who are catching on,
sure.
and who are investing in these services. There is another demographic who does not see the value of these services. They prefer to buy $200 Jordans, $300 jeans.
I'm trying to hold on with you, Kathy. You know, I want to say. You know, I want to say
you
something.
Know,
I'm trying to hold on with
you.
You
know, well, you know that they, Dre Beats, they don't see the value of investing in test prep services, whereas the other demographics, in the international market, this is why you have all of these kids that are in the NBA. 10 years from now, 5 years from now,
broke.
The NBA is going to be full of international players.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yes, it is.
Because they play fundamental basketball. Do you know why Golden State Warriors is blowing out the Cavaliers? Because they play together as a team.
I thought it was Cavaliers had LeBron, but anyway.
The Cavaliers, they're sitting on the bench. They were sitting on the bench last night. LeBron and Kyrie sitting on the bench because Golden State is playing together as a team. They know who the man is. We know who the man is. They know their position on the team. They know who the man is. Steph Curry is the man, number one. Number two is Klay Thompson, number two. Draymond Green, number three. He knows he's the number three man. He backed up number one and number two. So when number one is out, that's why you saw Steph Curry. Steph Curry said, he pointed to the sky, cutting up. He was just doing it. Because they play together as a team. Draymond Green, they go Iguodala, bam.
Hmm.
Klay Thompson, bam. The Cavaliers, they have LeBron trying to shoot. Kyrie Irving, he's a point guard. You're not a shooter. You're supposed to be setting up the shooter. Why are you shooting? The Cavaliers are shooting. Now, if you notice, when the Los Angeles Lakers were playing, Magic Johnson would get the ball and do what? Pass it to Kareem, and Kareem would do what? With the skyhook. That was Magic's role. What happened to that style of playing? No fundamental playing. So American kids, looking at Steph Curry, thinking that they can make shots, but you can't do that. You know why? Because this young man, Curry, he practices, 2 hours a day? He takes, 2,000 shots a day? So while these young kids out here on tweeting, they're tweeting foolishness. You very seldom see Steph Curry on Twitter. They're tweeting foolishness, ridiculousness. Doing on the phone, Dre beating, you know, on Facebook, putting out foolish stuff, tweeting nonsense. This man, in addition to playing and practicing with his team, he does that. Then he does his own skill craft. He's crafted his skill. And these young high school kids, they think that they can go out here and do what these professionals, these are professional ballers. These people in the NBA, they've already been to college. Young people, high school, son, you in high school. How are you going to skip over college and go do what the people in the NBA are doing? You're not understanding. Before Kevin Durant got to the NBA, he was in college. So these kids are looking at paychecks. The parents are looking at paychecks. They think that their child in high school can do what a professional NBA person or NFL person plays. Listen, these young men and women with the women NBA, they've already put their time in. They done been to college. They've been to college. Where you been? I'm just going to go there. Where you been? What you think you can do? You in high school.
Yeah, I tell all the kids.
On the college. You're not even in the college. And then you have the audacity to talk about if it's not what division is it. What division is it? What is your GPA? What division are your grades? What's your GPA? If you tell me your GPA, I can tell you what division that you're going to be attending. What is your test score? If you tell me what your test score is, I can tell you what division that you're going to be attending. Because if you have a 2.0 in your core, you will not be attending a Division I school. I don't care how many points you drop per night. You can do 60 points. Doesn't matter.
You know, I tell all the kids. I tell all the kids all the time. We gotta wrap this up here in the next 30 seconds. But I tell the kids all the time, and I tweet it out all the time. I said, now you people do realize that the NBA players and NFL players and NHL players and MLB players get paid.
Yes.
So even if Steph Curry goes out there, and you know everybody says, oh, he hit that shot. I remind them. Seth is paid to hit that shot. Okay,
not
it's not
only
like,
that.
It,
that's
I mean,
right.
you know,
and
that's the only
that.
Thing. But that's
not
the only thing you can look at. I mean, it's like everybody thinks it's this magical thing. Oh my God, look what he's doing. He's getting paid.
He
if
practices.
He, wasn't doing
he practices
that,
every day.
He, would,
he practices
yeah,
every
that,
day.
Yeah. Well, that's why Carolina was so good because they didn't have to go to class. They just practiced basketball every day while everybody else went to class. So if I had to get up every morning and eat breakfast and just play basketball every day, I could do it too. But when Carolina start this slump that they're in, and they're under slump because they're not doing it the Carolina way now, it's because their students actually, the student athletes actually had to go to class and threw them off their schedule. They weren't able to sleep till 12 o'clock. They weren't able to go to the gym till 6, you know, say till 6 o'clock. It just threw them off of their schedule that now if you want to go to any school in the nation where all the kids are going to class, it's at Carolina. There's nobody. Even the custodian's going to class at Carolina. You ain't going to be able to walk around without having a book in your hand because everybody's going now. But these professional guys, I mean, you have to look at what they are. They're professionals. That's why when, like, Cam Newton, you know, I'm not a Cam Newton fan at all. I think he's a blowhard idiot, but that's just me. And him losing, everybody's like, oh, poor Cam. Poor Cam still got paid. Whether he wins or loses, poor Cam still got paid. So you look at these professional athletes, I don't feel sorry for them at all. You lose a game. So what, you just pack up the stuff you go home, you say, hey. Now, if you want to make professional athletes better, say, okay, winner take all. If you win, you get paid. If you lose, you don't get paid. You want to see some basketball games in, you'll see some basketball games in. Or football games. But anyway, Kathy, thank you so much for appearing on the show tonight. It's been a pleasure. Once
You're
again, our webinar is coming up, I think, again, like I said, 26th, 27th. Don't have it here in front of me, but I will put it on our page, the show page on the internet. Just go to www.theovertimesportsshow.weebly.com, and I'll have all that information coming up. And boy, we're stacked up over the next few weeks. We got Norbert Rome coming on tomorrow night. He's a head basketball coach, ladies basketball coach at Dillard University. And then on the 8th, we have Latrell Scott, the head football coach at Norfolk State University. And then 6'9", my good buddy, Kyle Serba from North Carolina Central University, the greatest university on the planet where they do go to class. And also we have Deborah Cutler coming up. Oh, yeah, you go to class at Central now.
Make us go to class, Mike.
You have to make us go to class. That's all I'm saying. If I had to go to class, then they have to go to class. That's the rules. Also, Deborah Cousins from the Durham County Foster care recruitment program. She's going to come on, and we're going to talk about how important it is for foster care. We got a lot of kids out here who need a lot of help, and, I mean, they just need a lot of guidance. And we're going to try to hook you up with some of them and let you know how to do that. And that's going to be one of the best shows ever because to help people. And then LaTonya Lamonte, a former coach at North Carolina State University who moved into the head coaching position at Winston-Salem State University, she is going to be on. And once again, the branches, the trees, and the leaves of that coaching tree grow more and more coming out of Eagle Land. So thank you so much, Kathy, and we will definitely talk to you on the 26th.
Sounds great. Have a good night.
You too. That was Kathy Reeves, PD Sports Recruiters, right here on the Overtime Sports Show to wrap things up. Well, Linda, interesting show tonight. Told us a lot about recruiting. We'll learn more on the 26th. Recruiting is really a shifty, mind-boggling, mind-blowing, rule-numbing business. And if you can navigate it, then you'll do pretty good. And Kathy's been doing this for a long time, so she's pretty good at navigating those things. So hopefully some kids will listen, some parents will listen. Hopefully I angered a few people tonight talking about you and Cheat, which I always do. And I'll get a chance to hear from them. I'd love to hear from them. But thank you so much for being on the show also. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night when we have Coach Rome on from Dillard University.